you know, came up with a lot of interesting stuff there.
Okay.
Cheryl's back.
I needed to click on my nice cast. Oh, and I'm back with an echo. Do you have an echo?
No. It's perfect for us.
Good.
Right.
What are you streaming to, Cheryl?
No, I'm just recording to my hard drive.
Ah.
So should I be always recording? Cheryl, should I do that too, or are you okay?
No, it's always helpful to record somewhere else. I just had to change my server settings.
Okay. To Audacity? Is that what Nicecast does?
I went to the server and...
Built-in server?
Yes. And then I had to quit out and come back in again.
In order to broadcast or to catch it?
In order to capture it because it doesn't stick. And I didn't want to interrupt teachers teaching teachers.
Oh. No. Ah. We don't want to do that.
No, we don't.
No. They're very nice people. Okay, so if I've got it designated for my built-in server, then all I should have to do is start the broadcast, right?
Yes, once you quit out, come back in again, make sure that it's stuck to that server.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you have to exit out of Nicecast.
Yes. And then I always go back in and make sure it changed.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
How long do we have till we start? I just got out of a session with Dane Shoresky for like an hour and a half, and so I need to leave the computer for a moment before we start again.
Let's say, what, 10 minutes? Is that okay?
We have 5 minutes till we start, or what time is it? I can't even see the time.
Say,
it won't let me.
Let's say 10, Vicky, so that you can get all set.
Okay.
I'm going to stay in, but just leave my mic on mute.
Okay.
So, Carla, hello.
Yes, Cheryl, hello.
Picho. Is it Pichino?
Beijinhos.
Yes, I haven't practiced that.
Oh.
Yes, beijinhos, Sharon, is like little kisses, and that's the way. Oh. Well, this is really Portuguese from Portugal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Portuguese from Brazil, we would say beijos. The Portuguese always like to use the everything in the diminutive, like inhos, like little things, and we don't. Yeah. We use just beijos, So, Cheryl, beijos for you.
Beijos, Carla.
Hi, Mary. I'm going to give control to Mary, too. Mary is another moderator in the session, and I was just telling... Hey, Mary.
Hi, Carla.
Oh, I can see there is a little girl walking around and jumping.
Hey! You can see me?
No, I can hear your dog.
Oh, I was going to say, I'll be embarrassed if you can see me. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, my little girl is running around.
Hey, Mary. This is Cheryl.
Hi. Hi, Cheryl.
How are you?
Hello. This is funny.
Good.
No, I couldn't be... webcam today also, but
no.
Yes, Cheryl. So I was just telling Cheryl, that we are in our fourth week now of our Blogging for Educators session, and it's just so much for everybody, but we are having lots of fun. Participants are producing a lot, blogging a lot. Some have already found their own voices online. Some are struggling with the technical part. It's just so much fun to see, you know, everything starting from scratch. And the thing is that people are really, their main question is about blogging, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you connect? How do you start blogging with your students? Where do I start? All those questions, you know.
Okay.
Well, well I think between the four of us, we can give lots of hints. So, Carla, does that mean people will be putting questions in the chat, or will you be moderating the questions?
I could be moderating. If I see the questions, I can tell you about the questions. And mm-hmm. Because if I give control to everybody, it can be really chaotic. So I could help with the questions. And if somebody wants, they can ask for to talk, and then I'll give them control. But okay. More at the end, probably, so that you can, you know, we can profit more from what you have to say. And I know that you have lots of ideas and neat stuff.
Okay. So it's fairly informal.
Yes, of course. Very informal. We can wait for Vicky, but the idea is this. They are really eager to, some have already started, some are still worried of exposure and all that, you know? Mm. Like they feel like, oh, everybody's producing so much, doing so much that I feel I can't, you know, be exposed like that. I feel so dumb. That's what they are saying today. Today we got many emails.
Oh.
Hi, Dennis. I'm gonna give you control so that you can test your audio, Dennis. Dennis, you are on.
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes.
Terrific.
Hello, Dennis.
Well, that's great. Hello there, whoever that was.
This is Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl. What a pleasure.
Yeah. Great
well,
to hear you.
Cheryl, I want to tell you that it's a special pleasure that you're hearing me just fine. Because as Carlina knows, mm-hmm. I had some real problems with audio configurations.
You did.
And it had to do with Soundflower,
mm-hmm.
if you followed the Mac discussion.
Well, I started to.
Oh, it for some reason was giving me a default value at the weirdest times of line in. And so I thought I was sounding okay, but I was just sounding awful. Carla knows all about that. Anyway, it's really nice to say hello to everyone, and I look forward to this session.
Mm. Oh, I think it'll be great.
Me too.
Yes, me too. Great, Dennis. Today you sound perfect.
Yes.
He sure does. Yeah, perfect audio.
And Dennis, I believe that you are taking the Webcast Academy right now, aren't you?
Am I still on?
Yes.
Yeah, I am. I'm going at sort of a snail's pace right now. I've just had a lot of little piddly things that have been, well, piddly but important, that mm-hmm. have really kind of stolen time and energy from me. But I am in the academy. I'm behind in one sense and not behind in another.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've already done all the things that the folks are doing right now, but I would like to do them again.
Right.
And now that I seem to have my audio problem solved, maybe I can make more progress than the last time. However, I don't really care. I'm there to learn, not to do assignments.
And you know what, Dennis? I haven't graduated yet.
Well.
Yeah. Me neither.
Oh, me neither.
Me neither.
Well.
We could have a group graduation.
Yes.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
It would.
Of course, I may be like Durf. It may be the class of 2017 or whatever
2017.
It is.
I don't think I want to graduate because I don't want to leave yet. So,
no.
You know.
Well, I think that's probably the case with DERF. It's like the Webheads. It's just a really supportive, warm, helpful group of folks. And to graduate sort of is saying goodbye, I guess. It isn't really, but I think that's, you know, how a lot of people might perceive it. And
yeah.
God knows, DERF has just been wonderfully supportive and helpful herself.
She can teach.
So I hope it's. She could.
Yeah.
Without any doubt at all. I kind of hope she waits until the class of 2027 myself. We should all live so long.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
How did you like your colored photos now?
Which colored photos?
Oh, the ones that I put there.
Oh, they're nice.
They look. I like sepia. Very nice.
Yeah, me too.
And actually, that's the color of my ski parka, my frame. So perfect.
Really? Oh, isn't that cool?
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that's great. I'm happy.
Yes.
Yeah, and Vicki Davis just said, hey, cool graphic.
Yeah, I'm trying.
I had added a graphic there earlier. I'm going to try and add it maybe at an appropriate time later as well.
Okay. Go ahead, Sharon.
And Sharon, do we have the graphic that Miguel used?
I have that. That was so funny.
It's really a good story.
I saw Vicki blogged it. I certainly had blogged it as well.
I just got home from school, so I haven't had a chance.
It's ridiculous.
I just love it. I saw your book. And Jen, is that Mac?
No, not at all. It would have been fun if it was, but no.
Yeah. Okay, so do you see the picture? I'm kind of fiddling.
Yes.
We can see you moving. Very clear.
It's classic. I mean, my husband was laughing his head off when it's in Facebook. He was laughing his head off at it, and it was just sort of making mistakes. Yeah, just what you want to broadcast to the world. You know, that's the women of Web 2. We're out there making mistakes.
No.
Well, if you read what Wes said, it was really, really nice.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. And that's exactly what I said in my blog, that, you know, context is everything.
It sure is.
And the point that Miguel was making, I thought, was an excellent one. And I'm intending to use that for a presentation I'm doing next week. Mm-hmm. About sort of grassroots movement networking and our teachers, you know. It just is so perfect.
Yeah. Well, I, for one, am a great believer in the learning power of mistakes.
Absolutely. That's it. And what's a mistake, too?
I mean, exactly. A mistake is just an unusual opportunity.
It's a learning opportunity, Dennis.
Here. That's precisely what it is.
It's a teachable moment.
I agree.
Yep.
Let's hear it for teachable moments.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And I think we are here today exactly to talk about that. I think that I read your post, Sharon. I read Vicky's post about making mistakes in the photo. And I think we are here exactly to do that, you know, to talk about the power of mistakes and the power of, you know, trying out things. Because in our session, that's exactly, still educators are like very self-conscious and they feel like blogging is too much exposure. And of course, some are just fearless and they just started trying out things. But most of the people are still behind the curtains. They don't want to, you know, to put their show on. And I thought this would be a great chance, you know, to demystify a little bit of blogging. And maybe you could share a little bit of your own blogging experience, how you started, the strategies you've been using with your students, learning from your blogging mistakes. I think this is exactly where we are. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to start this informal conversation saying that, you know, these four ladies, Cheryl, Vicky, Jennifer, and Sharon, are just inspiring ladies, professionals, mothers, educators, just like us. And I've heard that they've been called the transparent learners, and they are never afraid to try or to share and to learn. And so that's why we made an effort to, you know, to gather them here so that they could share a little bit of their trying moments and, you know, their learning and teaching moments. Thanks, Cheryl, for, you know, putting us together.
Yeah. I just have to give a big shout out for you too, because you and I met in the winter of 2005 through the webheads.
And we were fearless.
There was no time to be afraid of trying anything. We were such a huge network of people who encouraged you to try everything, fall down, get up again, and try something new. So I think once you get over that hurdle, what's the worst thing that can happen, then you can just move on.
Yes, I think it's true. We've been fearless, and that's what keeps us moving, I guess.
Should we just go around and kind of have a round robin about how we got started and how it affects our students?
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
Okay.
I think I'll go first because I'm in an echo chamber for me, and if it's not echoey for you, then I'll be able to do this right out quick. I started blogging thanks to Bob Sprankle. When I went on sabbatical, I was away from my students for 13 weeks, and I joined Class Blogmeister, and I was able to set up a blog so that I could communicate with my students. At that same time, I started podcasting with them and leaving them a weekly message telling them what their lesson was going to be with their substitute. And it was just an incredible way to be 120 miles away from my school, yet to be sharing on a daily basis the kinds of studies that I was working on. I was doing science research about elementary lessons. And so it was really good to stay in touch. And then my students started answering back to me. And for me, when I was blogging with my students, the purpose was because all of their classroom teachers weren't blogging at the time, was to really get them to be comfortable online, teaching them about internet safety, teaching them about cyberbullying, and as Dennis and I were just saying a moment ago, these are not mistakes, these are learning opportunities and teachable moments. And so I think If I find a purpose in blogging, it's twofold. One, that a student has a place to hang their work besides the refrigerator in their home. And the second one is that they have an opportunity to practice these things, being a digital learner and talking online and sharing with other people in a safe way with adults who can model things and shape things that students are doing, and also collaborate with students at that moment rather than when the students are out on a Facebook or a MySpace page.
And you really don't have any way to communicate with them about being safe. So that's my quick synopsis of how I started blogging, podcasting, and the purpose with my students. Great, Cheryl. Thanks. Thanks for sharing that. How about Vicky?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I had to find my mute. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And I'll go Twitter this in a moment. I was about to Twitter it, but I'm sure the other Twitterers will share here.
Just before you start, Vicky, maybe the others could mute their mics so that we don't have echoes. It would be much better if everyone could mute their mics. And if you come just above the attendee list, you can mute your mic there too. Okay, much better now. Okay, Vicky,
hey,
go ahead.
You ready for me?
Yes.
Okay. I think that out of the four of us, that I'm the baby blogger. I don't know when y'all started blogging, Cheryl, Sharon, and Jennifer, but I think it was definitely before me. I started in November of 2005, went to a conference, and I had heard of, well, I've just been going for 2 years, Carla, so a little over two. But I was at a conference, and I had heard of a blog, and I had heard of a wiki, but I didn't really know what they were. And a man that I didn't know named David Warlick was sitting behind me. And after some real important people finished talking to him, I turned around and I said, "Excuse me, I'm Vicki Davis. I'm a classroom teacher. I don't know what a blog and wiki are, but which one should I start with in my classroom?" And he said, "Well, what is your objective?" And that right there has stuck with me because, you know, first of all, he said, "What is your objective?" And the use of technology always starts with your objective. The second thing is David treated me with courtesy and kindness. And I believe that the edubloggers are the greatest group of people on the planet because they are so helpful. And I started out when I was a very baby blogger. Jennifer was one of the first commenters ever on my blog. And then I heard about this thing called Skype that I didn't know how to use. And Jennifer, I think you taught me how to use Skype. And I also think you taught me how to use Second Life too, didn't you, Jennifer? Are you there? I don't know if you're muted. But anyway, so that's how I started.
I'm muted, blogging. But yes.
You did, yeah. So Jennifer really kind of got me in the network. And for me personally, the reason I started blogging was because I knew I would have to teach my students. And I never teach my students anything until, you know, I understand some about it. I'm a lot more open about letting my students get ahead of me now than I was at the beginning. But I, you know, I had a real fear of blogs and wikis and the safety and that sort of thing. So I started blogging, brought my students in on Class Blogmeister about a week later. Now my students blog, I have a private class Ning where all of my students blog. My school has a school-wide social network on Ning where the parents, teachers, grandparents, and students all join and learn about digital citizenship, just like Cheryl talked about. Digital citizenship is such an important byproduct there that the students learn. And then my students also blog publicly on the Flat Classroom Ning. And I have ninth graders that blog publicly under a pseudonym on Blogger. So I believe, just as Cheryl said, there are really three things for me. First of all is the global audience, or at least the expanded audience. My ninth graders actually blog on Youth Voices, and I think Teachers Teaching Teachers is on right now. That group started it, and it's a great group. The second thing is digital citizenship. Just as Cheryl discussed, it's so important for teachers to model that and also to have the teachable moments in safe places. The great thing about our school widening is that we have elementary students that are joining it, and I believe that you should have an outlet for students as young as fourth grade have a safe place. And the great thing about pulling parents in is that they can learn it themselves. They can learn what a friend is. They can also blog and do that sort of thing. And my third important part of this is for reflection. Reflection is really becoming one of the most important parts of my own practice. I reflect on my blog. People give me input and feedback. And I think, Carla, when people talk about, oh, do I want to, you know, come out and be on the stage? What happens is when you are transparent and when you blog about what you're struggling with, or when you blog about things that you don't know how to do, or something that is working or something that isn't working, you get so much more than you give, because so many people comment and share. And, you know, it's like Jennifer finding my blog and commenting and sharing with me and teaching me Skype. And once she taught me Skype, it was like the world opened up. And it's just a sharing thing. And now those of us who are a little more experienced, we just want to share and help others. So it's a very welcoming environment. And the teachers that do it will find that they get so much more than they give. It's just a great network. And the last thing I just want to mention is that I believe that the good teacher now is called a teacherpreneur. And that comes from the word entrepreneur and a teacher. Because we have to, in a lot of cases, take and propose the things we want to see happen in our classroom now to connect our students to the world, because the bureaucracies in place are not doing this for us, especially across countries. It's not there in order to help me collaborate with, you know, Sharon in Canada or Bangladesh or Qatar or China. Those things aren't in place yet. So we've got to make those connections ourselves, and it's really empowering to have teachers connect with teachers. It's just such a great experience. So that's sort of how I got started and what we use in our classroom. And I'll pass it on back to Carla.
Yes, Vicky, thank you. Well, I shared the same feelings. The only thing that happened to me, which was totally different, was that I started blogging with one of my classes and Dennis Oliver in an international exchange. I took like a huge step. And, well, I'm just getting back. And, you know, now blogging for me is much more mature. And I've been, you know, blogging a lot more for professional development and my own self-reflection. But in the past, it was huge. When I think of how we started, Dennis and me, I'm thrilled. Because I don't know if I would do that if I knew how many things were involved. And, well, but it was fun anyhow. How about you, Sharon? I would love to hear more from you in Canada.
I've been thinking this through. Yeah, I was in the middle of my ed tech degree, master's degree, when I started blogging. And I initially had, my thesis is based on online collaboration with high school students. And what I was doing at the time back in 2003 was just so novel. I couldn't find any literature of anyone doing something similar. Although certainly there have been some studies on computer-supported collaborative learning, but not so much in the high school classroom. And my argument for putting some of my curricula online in a blended environment, which was very new and very different, I was using NiceNet, by the way. I don't know if you know NiceNet. Was that I felt that by the time my students reached college, they were likely going to face some online coursework and that they needed to be prepared to communicate appropriately and to be able to think deeply and get past the instant messaging trends that I was seeing. So my study was on self-monitoring skills for students to promote self-regulation. And it was quite different from what was happening at the time. It's amazing that Web 2.0 has exploded since then. When I finished my data collection, I realized that blogging had become a trend. And in order, to push me along to my own thesis writing, I decided to blog because I needed to get into that voice of writing. So I did it for myself, and there weren't that many people out there blogging at the time. I think, Jen, I did bump into you and a few others, but it was pretty quiet there and kind of lonely there for the first few months. That was 2005, July of 2005, that I started blogging. And eventually I started to pick up on more comments and you know, join the EduBlogger community, which is, you know, so large, are becoming so large now, and that's exciting. And also I changed schools at that point and introduced blogging to my students more as a way of class participation and again getting the students to think reflectively and deeply and be able to read and access others' work. Because until that point, I'm an English teacher, by the way, until that point, the only other person who saw my students' writing was me. And I recognized that this was an environment where people could share, you know, each other's work. And I have found in the last 3 years, as I continued blogging or using online spaces with my students, that the more they saw their own peer group's work, the more they saw what their friends were writing, it really raised the bar for their own writing and definitely improved the depth of thought, the critical thinking skills that were going on, and of course, all those things about online appropriate communication and language skills was so important, and were sort of a embedded, I guess, intention for the students to use. So that's where I got started, I guess, blogging, and it's been extremely gratifying. I don't blog nearly as prolifically as some of my friends here. I don't have the time, and it takes me so long, and I think maybe that's the frustration of some of the newer bloggers here. It takes me long because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I want to be able to express myself well, include all my links, not look stupid. You know, have something worthwhile and of value to share. And maybe that's why it can be a really challenging discipline. And I can see why a lot of teachers have not picked it up. So that's my thoughts on blogging right now. And I think it's tremendous. I think it has great value. And I think it's a great way to record progress over time. But it's tough work. So, Jennifer, I don't think we've heard from you about the blogging.
Well, this has been quite interesting to listen to. I, too, will have to admit that I believe that I started blogging after meeting David Warlick. However, I can't give him too much credit for that. I believe I did, but I'm not sure. I'm sure it was at a conference, though, that I was at. And I have a cat going crazy right now, so you might hear him in just a couple of minutes. But I tend to blog for a different reason. I believe that I am a self-reflection kind of blogger and what's going on in my world of tech. And I am finding that my subscribers seem to like that. And so I enjoy it too. You're not going to get anything book or do anything, but it's going to hit home and a lot of people are going to be able to relate to it. But I also have a rule also that if I can't blog it in 10 minutes, I'm not going to say it. Most of my blogs are off the cuff. They're quick. I had one that it took me a little bit longer, but still it was way under half an hour. And I'm not one to do citations at the end, but I am one that likes to point out new people and give new ideas and sometimes talk about not always the joys of technology, but some of the trials that we have to go through. So I would say that mine is much more a touchy-feely kind of blog, and it has changed since I first started. And I don't know if I'm sitting down and sharing my day, and I guess that's what my blog is. And I'm reading what Vicky says. I type, I hit submit, I walk away. And then I see what people think.
Well, very early
and Doug,
on.
Who's in the chat room can tell you that.
Well, I was going to say, very early on, I don't know why, but there are a few, I don't know what to say. How would you describe some? I know what I call them. I call them Darth Commenter. Like Darth Vader, but Darth Commenter. I don't know why, but I attract Darth Commenters, and they run in and they stab you with a lightsaber. They run you away, run away, and like every typo, anytime I do something wrong, I seem to get these Darth Commenters who just come in and say ugly things. So I guess I've kind of gotten to where I've tried to proofread and edit a little bit so that I don't have to deal with Darth. Mm-hmm. But maybe they just all like you, Jennifer.
They well, don't you know, like me? I don't get any Darth commenters, so I would have to say. No, I think they do like me.
I blog
from the heart, and I don't, if they don't, if I, I've only had one person ever take me to task, and what the person said, I talked back, and, you know, I seem to be okay. I'm not controversial, yeah. But I am easygoing, I guess. Now I'm going to be in trouble.
I find this
okay,
as an English teacher.
Okay, Darth, go find Jennifer.
I find it so interesting that our writing styles, our writing approaches are all so different from each other. And I mean, that's how our students are. We're all different in how that writing process takes place. And that really struck me as I was listening to all of our approaches. And, you know, Cheryl said that she writes it, she waits a couple days, she goes back, she edits it. You know, and I have my own style. Vicky's got her style. And it, you know, I think it's a great lesson that we need to remember about our own students and how they approach the writing process.
Good point, Sharon.
Yeah, and I think it's about having your voice. I mean, we all have a different voice.
Exactly. Mm. And for those of you that are new bloggers out there, not to lose heart if you can't do it in 10 minutes, you know, or, you know, if you're uncomfortable, on the other hand, not writing from the heart. And, you know, it's really, the style is really, it has to be authentic. It has to come from you and be your voice. I think that's what matters.
Yes, my Cheryl, high school teachers. Exactly.
Go ahead,
Cheryl. No, I was just going to say that it's exactly that. It's about finding your own voice, and this is exactly what we are trying to show, like the participants of Blogging for Educators, that it's not about how many comments you are gonna have, but you know, finding, after you find your own voice, you keep blogging and you persist, then, you know, things will start to happen. It just doesn't happen like from one night and you just, you know, wake up and everything is there and you are a blogger. No, I think it's about habit and, you know, writing and improving, and it's all that. And it's hard because people want to see immediate results, and sometimes it takes a while for the results, you know. And this anxiety is one thing that we need to, you know, to pay attention to. It's about blogging from the heart. Not, of course you have your audience and you have your readers, but it's about talking about something that you feel like and you have something to say, you know. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I was just gonna say, when I was in high school, my teacher didn't think I was a good writer, and I was afraid to blog. So don't be afraid.
Well, and I think too that especially for newbie bloggers, two things. One is, don't take the comments too seriously. I have to tell you honestly that I went to a conference just a couple of weeks ago, and one of the most hurtful commenters I've ever seen turned out to be blah. So someone may be really able to hit you with a comment and just let it go off your back. But two, because some people, that's what they love to do. They just love to run by. But I think what
drive by commenters,
drive bys, yeah.
When you are a new blogger, don't be afraid to go out and blog and comment on other people's blogs, and be brave enough to leave your blog on their site so people will come to yours, because you do want to have a voice that people listen to, and you do want to sort of have people come see what you're talking about. But don't get caught up in the numbers thing. Don't let it bother you. Don't start making anything about it, because you could be gone in a moment. You know, Sharon said something just a moment ago. We write blogs sometimes that we think are just going to be the cat's meow and everyone's going to come to it, and no one comes to it. And then you'll write another blog that talks about something silly and 50 people comment on it. So
yeah, you have
so don't
like
take
that,
yourself too seriously. Oh, that was, it's funny how some people just react. But the biggest thing I think you need to do is, if you're a new blogger, is you need to be commenting as much as you need to be blogging.
Oh, I so agree on that. I think I've become a better commenter in the last year. And honestly, I blog less, but I think it's better. And my comments, I get so much gratification from leaving comments and then engaging in a conversation, sometimes ongoing, with that same blogger on that same blog post. So I really encourage the commenting. I think that's so important.
Do y'all use CO Comment?
No.
CO Comment tracks all of your comments, and you can post it on the side of your blog. And I love it because so many times you forget. You know,
is it WordPress friendly? Because so many of those things.
Yes, it is actually.
Oh, cool.
They make a plugin for WordPress, I think, but it's called CO Comment, and it's on the left hand side of my blog. But it's really it's really a great tool. For a while, they had some bugs, and I had to stop using it. But now, every single time I put a comment, it tracks, and I can even tag my own comments, and it lets you find people who are commenting on the same blogs that you are.
Right.
So it's just
I don't know who it was, but it was someone on Tech and Learning, and I want to say that it was David Jakes, but I'm not sure it was, who, when someone comments, he comments back to them by name. And I have started to do that. And that really extends the conversation too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're...
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what? It is driving your comments up. So if you want to look like you're having a lot of comments. But to answer someone back and say, you know, thank you for your thoughts. And then talk a little bit about what they commented on. That's a really good way to work on your blogs as well too.
Well,
yeah, I think commenting is that's really, I think, what got me going, is just because at the beginning I didn't know anything, and so I didn't blog as much, but I commented. And if you write really meaningful comments, people want to see what you write on your own blog, because they go, wow, you know, that person has something to say. But, you know, it's not really about you and yourself. It's really more about the whole being a part of it, mm-hmm. you know. And you have to not focus on how many readers you have or whatever, because it can be really, you know, it can get you distracted if you think about it.
And Terry Freeman has a good post about that at techlearning.com blog, just about, you know, how many people are reading your post, and not to focus on that, but to, you know, find your voice and keep reflecting.
I mean, I had seven readers forever.
If you're not a blog reader, going to the Tech and Learning blog is probably one of the best ones to read. I think there's 14 different writing styles that you can see that are going on.
That's a good point.
And not just because a good quick way. Not just because a lot of people that we care about blog there. But it is a good way to see a lot of different blogs.
I shared a graphic from the link that I posted also in the chat there that I discovered. It was Chris Betcher that gave me the idea for this. I'm going to be doing a presentation next week a bit about networking and the power of networking at the grassroots level, because I just think I'm an ordinary sort of teacher. You know, I'm nothing too special, but that's my blog. I put my blog... website address in, and you don't know who this graphic represents. My network of people who have read my blog, and you can see it's been bounced around a lot, and I'm trying to figure out where it started. And I think okay, maybe I'll draw a little line around where I think it started. This is where it started, and that's where my network went. And you have no idea that many people out there have accessed your blog, because they don't necessarily leave comments, but that's the network that my blog has created. I think that's kind of special to see that we do have a sphere of influence, even if it's sort of invisible to us on the web. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. I thought it was kind of a cool website, and I wish I understood what the colors meant. There's no legend that's given, but if you actually go to the site and put in a website address, it could be your blog, it could be something else, you will get a flash image, and it explodes right in front of you. It's quite powerful to be able to see that. Sorry, I just thought I'd share that.
That's great. Sharon, this is great, because we are also talking about the sphere of influence, and you really don't know the impact you have on people. Because some are just lurkers, they are great readers, but sometimes they don't have time to comment, or they don't feel like commenting. But just today, I was reading the emails the participants sent, and it was just amazing to see, you know, their reactions, and I would never know if they hadn't left us a message in our Yahoo groups there. But of course, we are impacting people and educators on different levels, but we never know. So that's exactly what we should do, like keep blogging and reflecting. And I'm sure somebody will profit from it in some way or the other, you know. And that has happened to me all the time. I've been reading a lot. I read a lot of blogs, but I generally don't comment. Well, I've been involved in too many different things, and I feel like this year is one of the things I would like to do more, like to comment more on people's ideas, because at least they know that I'm there listening mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. Because in fact, what happens with blogging is that there are great listeners out there. They're listening to the echoes of your voice, but sometimes they just don't interact with you, but they are there. And well, in a certain way, they are interacting. They are actively listening to you and, you know, spreading the word or the ideas or whatever. So I think it's interesting.
Can we go and talk about the mistake graphic? Because I think that's really important for new bloggers to hear.
Could you upload it again in another page, a blank page here? Yes, it's better. Uh-huh.
It's on its way.
Yes.
Should be there soon.
How are you putting images in?
Jen, you just go to, there is the little mountain there for images.
Oh, I see it up on the upper left. Okay.
Yes, and then you can just upload whatever you want.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay, girls, go ahead. Making mistakes.
Who wants to begin?
I knew that there was going to be a reaction to this. I was waiting as soon as I sent it yesterday, I went... Because you know what? I did not see them making mistakes for the longest time. I just saw the nice comment that McGill had written. And then later on someone said, but did you see what it said at the top? So Sharon or Cheryl, you want to explain?
Well, I'll just give my instant reaction. And then Sharon, you have a much better explanation. But when I saw that, I was kind of proud of it because I said, yeah, that's right. We do make mistakes, and we're right out there in front making them in front of everybody, and we don't apologize for it. We say, oops, made a mistake. We're going to move on and try something different. And I think, I don't know, it's not about my persona, but it's just about we're trying so many new and different things that we can't possibly... know how to do it all. So we try a little bit more, and throw out what doesn't work, and keep on moving. So that was my instant reaction. Yeah, we made it.
I just like to share, last night we were having a regular webcast, and Miguel came in, and I think at the last 10 minutes or so, and it's Miguel who was giving this presentation, and I'd already seen the photo, and I couldn't resist teasing him a bit about it, but he explained, you know, he was kind of like, what I meant was, you know, the transparent learners, you folks are transparent learners, and I thought that was so great. I also thought about how risk-taking is part of that. And I would say that one common personality trait that the four of us share is that risk-taking and just going out there and letting it all hang out, I guess, being transparent. And I would hope that by now those new edu bloggers know that it's something to take risks, but that they're in a community that will accept the gaffes or the goofs, and that we're pretty good about acceptance. And you know, I don't know about the rest of you, but if you read other blogging communities, if you go out there and you read other blog posts from, you know, different areas of interests, they're not nearly as nice to each other, I think, as the edu blogger community. I don't know if anyone wants to chip in and say the same, but I find us to be a really great community. What would you folks say about that?
I couldn't say. I only pretty much read educational blogs. But I would say that we are a very generous group of people, and we, on the most part, there are a couple that I can think of that do delight in trying to cause controversy. But I would say pretty much most of the commenters and bloggers I've read are very upbeat and how can I help you succeed?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are the controversial, but you kind of get to the point where you realize that they're probably looking for attention. And if you give them a link, you gave them what they want because you've got, you know, increased their authority. I mean, the easiest way to, you know, get links is to tick somebody off, you know, and then they blog about it and link to you. So I kind of have a policy. If somebody's really snarky and ugly, a lot of times I just won't link to them.
Right.
I just don't. I don't blog it and I don't link to it. And then they usually will go away.
Well, if someone comments on mine and they say something that or they are trying to draw attention to their blog on purpose, I use WordPress so I can go in and take their link away. So they can still leave their comment, but they're not linking to their site from my site.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it doesn't. The thing is like the Technorati authority ratings, the comments don't affect their authority ratings. Just the
But what is that? What is really itself. That? What is the Technorati
it's
authority?
How many Yeah, it's how many
but
people
But I mean on the scheme
and,
of things
and,
for
know.
Someone who's a new blogger, you know, in regards to
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
well,
a number,
for
right?
Those Yeah, well, those who are trying to make money off of it, and there are educational bloggers who are starting to put their Google AdSense, I'm not one of them, but there are, The Technorati ratings can mean money in your pocket, because the higher your ratings, the more money you can get if you do that sort of thing. So, you know, there are a lot of people who want those high ratings so they can get the money in their pocket. I mean, that,
I think that's called you know, retirement.com.
Yeah. Yeah. But I want to mention something about tagging, and this is really just kind of a pet thought of mine. What? Can I not?
That was funny. No, yes. I'm laughing at what Cheryl said.
Uh-oh. Did I?
About it, retirement.com.
Sorry, baby.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine.
I think
I was
you heard what
was
Cheryl
that
said.
Funny?
No. I think tagging.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm
so
sorry.
Important.
Well, I was just going to say that Technorati and some of the other places that aggregate all the blogs aggregate the tags. And I dropped in earlier a thing that does your automatic tag generator. And this is just kind of my pet peeve. I feel like every single blog about education should be tagged education. Because one day, if we all do that, we'll go on Technorati and education will be a really big tag on Technorati, because it should be. And one reason it's not is because we as edu bloggers are not tagging everything education as we should be. So I just think, you know, want to encourage people, use the Technorati tags, and if it's about education, it should be tagged education.
Can I make a point about tagging? It's more than just for the sake of delicious and social bookmarking and Technorati. Tagging is an information literacy skill. It's linked very closely to keywords, and if we can teach our students the importance of tagging content appropriately, we are also teaching them to search for keywords. There's a real close link between those skills. And those of you who aren't maybe tagging your blogs yet or haven't used tagging, it's so closely tied to search engines of any description. All search engines use it on their websites. You know, it's something that not only we should be using. This is I really, really firmly believe it's a 21st century information literacy skill for our students. And anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in because it's important. It's an important concept to get around, and one that has really become especially important, I would say, in the last 5 years or so. Is that a valid thing to say? I see a few people agreeing with me.
I think it's brilliant. I mean, I think that's great. And it's also about finding things. Like, I have a watch list on Technorati and follow all of the people. And the thing about tagging and pinging Technorati, it's not that Technorati is the end-all, be-all. But if somebody pings Technorati, that tells me, number one, they're serious about blogging. And number two, they took the time and the headache to figure out how to ping Technorati. Because sometimes blogs don't do it automatically. And another great site I threw in earlier is pingomatic.com. And once you use it, it links with your blog and it will automatically ping all of these sites like Ice Rocket and all these sorts of things. And, you know, it's just telling people you're here. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, it's just an important thing to know how to do. So I didn't know that, Jen.
And kind of just going really slow because I think it also... I'm pretty excited about it. It seems like it has a lot of potential, but it has to sort of really kind of be
sure.
careful how you sort of
hearing
go
something
about
back
it here in the beginning stages, it seems like.
Yeah. And Steve and Ben, I got to say, you guys kind of inspired me.
I think we're getting a little overlap.
This is juicy teaching.
Safe. And I think the answer is...
They broke it again. How did they do that? It's a competition.
Wait a second.
That's so funny.
What happened?
That was interesting.
So there's definitely a transfer of skills from tagging to using keywords. I think that's what I'm trying to say here about that.
Yeah, that's an important point because it's not like you're creating some world where nothing bad can happen. You're not doing that at all.
Who is doing this?
You're not using a restraint.
Why are we doing that?
Is somebody I don't think
we're doing it.
I think someone is listening to EdTech Talk.
The aliens are back. Oops. Well,
I think it's Alice Barr.
Alice is multitasking.
Alice, we love you.
Okay, I took her control for a minute.
Well, I do think that and I am not a strong tagger yet, but I do think that one thing is true. For instance, like, and I dropped the link to David's site where he has created tags for all the conferences, and it's very nice to just be able to look at a tag and read what everyone has thought about a conference. So. And you can grab, and Vicky was talking about pinging on his site, unless he took it away, and I'm looking really quick.
No,
you can ping your site.
Yeah, you can still do that through his site. Yeah, you can.
So he's got conferences all the way through the end of February, and people are already commenting on things, already on the Illinois conference. People are already talking about it already, so... By using those tags, it does become very easy to sift through things.
Yes, this is something we've been trying to, you know, to teach the skills to these new bloggers. We didn't emphasize that so much in last year's session, but this year, because of Vince Stevens' Writing Matrix project, which is really powerful and just using tags, we decided to give more emphasis to tagging. And the fun thing is, first, we've been blogging, we've been teaching our participants, not teaching, but suggesting them to tag our things as Blogging for Educators since, you know, week one. So now we've aggregated everything, all the posts and everything, all the blogs in Technorati through tagging. We had a specific tag for a challenge last week, and it was really fun. They could choose from one of the tasks. And, well, most of us wrote about the 5 things you don't know about me, and we tagged before each challenge. So then we aggregated all that because of tagging. So you can just hit Technorati for that, and you'll see everything there. The B4E challenge tag with no authority, because most of the new bloggers don't have any authority, so it's really interesting to look for that, and you can test, you'll see our posts for last week. And this week we are trying to do the same thing with this week's test, and we are asking everybody to tag it as EduBlog Talk due to Konrad Glogowski post. And so we are really into tagging, and we think it's a really powerful, essential element in blogging. So this is something we've been doing. Yes, Sharon. He wrote the
Well, and just want to mention.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, if you come up with a standard tag for all of your bloggers to use, then they can watch it on Technorati, and you don't have to subscribe to everyone's blogs. You
yes.
can just follow the tag.
It's,
so you can just
exactly,
say, this is our tag for this session.
Yes, it's exactly what we are doing. So we have our tag is blogging for educators. So if you check it now, you'll see everything is aggregated there. So they've been using that in all their posts, and we've been using that. So it's based on Van Stevens' writing matrix project that he had with his students and students all over the world. Just through tagging writing matrix, they got students' conversations going on, you know? Instead of teaching students like RSS, syndication, all that, they didn't have time for that, just tagging. Mm-hmm. So it's really powerful, and that's what we've been trying to, you know, teach and show our participants, not teach, but show them in a practical way. So once they tag it, they tag their post, they can check Technorati and see the power of that. The before it
wow.
challenge was really fun because even for us, the moderators, we could like track each one's posts, and then of course we would interact with each other, and we learned about each other, although we've been, you know, intensively working for I don't know how many months. It was really fun. So I think tagging is one big deal that we didn't emphasize that much last year, but we felt that although participants still have a hard time to understand the concept, it's still something we are struggling, but it's worth it because it's really powerful. Carla, go ahead. You wanted to say something. We are clones. It's Carla Arena and Carla Raguseo. I'm from Brazil and Carla is from Argentina. So go ahead, Carla. Carla?
Yeah. Carla, just a couple of words as regards the tagging you were talking about, how we tagged our discussions. Yes? Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me there?
Yes, Carla.
Maybe she can't hear us.
Hello. Oh, sorry. As regards the tags about for the discussions, I find it very useful. Now, if we compare it to our first discussions, the first week we just had a discussion on our own blog, and we developed the thread with all the participants. But now we see that the conversation is distributed. Hello? Can you hear me? You're speaking and we hear you. Okay, right. So
yes, we hear you.
That is what I wanted to say, that now the conversation is distributed on all the participants' blogs. And I think that is a great way for our participants to learn, because they are not only commenting on the main blog, but they are actually holding their own conversation, more important for them. And I think that is, much more enriching. That's all. Sorry for whether you were listening or not.
Yes, Carla is right. Last year we had much more control because it was more like a one blog, one session blog, and participants were there. They had their own blogs, but the conversation this year is just amazing because of Google Reader, and we set a page flakes with all the participants' blogs. But the tagging system is really cool because then it's like Carla said, it's distributed. They can check who has updated, who is in week three, week four, and it's really amazing. So Vicky, just to show that it's really tagging is great, has great potential in the classroom, and it can make lives easier for learners and educators, I guess.
And I think having projects where you use the tags, is that's when people get it. You go, oh yeah, that works. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very abstract concept. When we talk about it in our Yahoo groups, it's really abstract. They can only get the feeling what tagging is all about when they start tagging, and see that their post is already in TechnoWriter. And, well, TechnoWriter has been behaving very well because in the past, Vance had some problems with it. But now it's doing okay. Even without pinging or claiming their blogs there, they can see their posts in TechnoWriter. So it's great. The B4E challenge last week was just amazing. I was amazed. I've never tried that before, and it was really... Something happened to me once. I was blogging about a Brazilian film in one of my blogs called Brazil and Brazilians.blogspot.com. And it was really fun because I was in a project with Russian students, and they were watching this movie, and I was talking about it and about Brazilian reality. But then I tagged with Writing Matrix, which is Vance's tag. Mm-hmm. You know, unique tag.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
What happened there was because I tagged as Writing Matrix, though I hadn't mentioned to them, just by the fact that they searched TechnoWriter and saw Writing Matrix, then they found me and they got to my blog. And this was really cool because then we had like Russians. Sasha was in Slovenia. So yes, Dennis, it was about City of God, which is like a very popular movie in Brazil. And it was just amazing. I mean, such variety of cultural perspectives there going on, and this is the true idea of blogging, I guess. It's opening up and to the world and having your own voice and establishing your audience based on your own interests and ideas. So it's just I'm really a fan of blogging. But there is something I'd like to ask you girls, and that's something like participants are always asking us. Mm-hmm. What are the strategies you use to blog with your students? What are the things that you do? How do you blog with them? Do they blog at school? Do they blog at home? You know, those basic questions. Do they learn how to use readers, or is it simpler than that? I'd love to hear that.
Well, this is Vicky. I actually, in my ninth grade, teach my students to have an RSS reader. Now, in the eighth grade, they just blog on the Ning, and they have to tag. I do teach them. I have a question of the week, and every question of the week has a tag. So within the Ning, they can actually look for the tag there.
Mm-hmm.
So they learn tagging, they learn blogging, hyperlinking, and embedding video in eighth grade. And in ninth grade, that's when we really expand, and I actually teach them pinging and tagging, and they do full-scale blogging, you know, and we teach the full aspect there of how to do it, and you know, I really try to let them find their passion of what they're excited about as they get older. You really want it so that by the time they graduate from high school, they're ready for the real world, and they have the ethics and the wisdom to behave correctly. I don't know what y'all use in the other places, Jennifer, or what do you do at your school?
My school is not there yet in regards to blogging, and I'm not the technology teacher, so I'm encouraging it. Next week, they're going on the Washington, D.C. trip, and I've taught three of the people all about Flickr, and I've set them up with a wiki, and I've set them up with a blog, and we'll see in 3 weeks when they get back what they've done. But
very cool.
We're just not there yet.
And I work with elementary students. This is Cheryl. And I really like Class Blogmeister, which is David Warlicks. And I also like think.com, which is a free online walled garden. It means that the students only can talk to students in your school unless you open it up to the world. So it's a really good way to start out with large groups of students.
And it's interesting, Cheryl, so you work with elementary kids, right?
Mm-hmm. And we start the students out in think.com by making a survey. And the surveys are really powerful because they put things in their survey like... What do you do when you get home from school? And they get to see how other kids vote. And it starts that interaction right away.
Mm-hmm. And what do they blog about? Do they have like a theme?
We started our theme about internet safety and cyberbullying. So that was what the whole project focused on.
Last year, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, last year when I was blogging, and now these were high school students, I noticed in the course of my research what I called the important person principle. And I noticed that when my students were aware that someone outside the community was going to come in and actually read their comments, and perhaps leave comments themselves, or read their posts and leave comments, that the caliber improved incredibly. So I asked my headmaster at the time if he would be willing to go in and read the blog posts of my students on the topics that I gave them, that I really tried to make relevant and authentic to maybe current events or something that was going on of interest in our school at the time. And he did that, and I tell you, it made an incredible difference in the scale. Well, just in the depth that the students wrote at, and they were so tickled when the headmaster actually commented on their post. So you know, I throw that out maybe as an idea for teachers who are looking for a carrot to get their students to really write well, and you know, involve someone else that's an important person in their community to come and read that. It can become a really neat exercise for everyone. So anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there.
It's true. I think, well, when they're blogging, they expect to, you know, get feedback. And this is another important aspect of blogging, you know, you expect some kind of feedback in some way. And if you're blogging with your students, I've been blogging for some time with my students, and my adult students, I couldn't blog in the classroom, mainly because we didn't have access to computers. Just sometimes we would go to a lab, and the fun thing was to see that they were blogging because they wanted to, and because they knew I was going to say something to them, or that somebody, sometimes Erica, my friend here, or, you know, somebody would come and leave them a comment. So, and even their colleagues, they felt like thrilled when they got messages from someone replying to what they said. So it's great. Yes, Sharon, we are a fan of international exchange projects. This is our big thing, collaborative exchange projects. And it doesn't need to be big. I've been doing like very simple things like a mystery guest. I have been
a
mystery guest,
idea.
And I've tested different kinds of mystery guest ideas. One, I was a mystery guest for Anne Fox from the Absolutely Cultural podcast, and she had a group of adults, and I was the mystery guest there. I wrote a post with some riddles. And they asked me questions. I kept replying to them, and they kept asking. And, well, once they got the idea, I told, yes, I am a Brazilian. And they gave me a nickname, and they called me Rosalina. They told me the way I posted, they thought my name would be Rosalina. And then I kept, my alias was always Rosalina. And it was really fun because
they would interact
with me all the time. And and the fun thing was I was going to visit Denmark, and I was going to a conference in their city. So they needed to tell me more about their place, where I should go, places I should visit.
Make it authentic learning experience.
Yes, they kept telling me about their city, and I kept asking. And at the end, they produced a slideshow in BubbleShare with images from their city. They recorded in BubbleShare, so I had a slideshow with audio. It was just amazing. So it doesn't need to be complicated at all. It can be an international project. It can be as simple as this, and it's just amazing. And of course I've tried, I had mystery guests in my group, and they always thought I was inventing the mystery guests, because they said, oh no, how come you have a friend in Germany who's English, and you know, and it was fun. The mystery guest I had, it was the other Dennis Newsom, and he recorded the video. My students recorded the video to him asking questions, and he replied with his video. So then they saw it was a real person, not me inventing my mystery guest. It was really fun and simple. Nothing that would take much of our time. It was fun, lots of fun. And I don't know, I feel that if you want to do something with your student, you need to be engaged in the process. It's not that you are just there, you know, and blogging will happen. Yes, Carla, it's just about imagination and being there too. Being as engaged as your students, it's just amazing. That's it. I think it's my cheap 2 cents. Sorry, Vicky, maybe I was too far. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Dennis.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, I agree 1,000% that blogging is about helping students find their voice and finding what it's like to speak to an audience. Well, something interesting happened in one of my classes in international exchange. One of the students in a developmental English class was responding to a Brazilian student. And what this student said was, F-A-S-H-O, F-A-S-H-O. And I read that. He was supposed to let me look at it before he posted it, but he didn't. So I read it afterwards, and I said, Freddie, what is this facho facho? And he rolled his eyes back into his head and groaned and didn't say anything. And I looked around the table, and some of the students had blank faces, but one of them was laughing. So I said, okay, Diana, what was he saying? She said, well, he's saying, for show, for show. And I said, for show, for show. Oh, my goodness, I've used that all my life, but I have never seen it written down. So I said, Freddie, that's right, for show, right? For show. And he said, for show, man. Well,
so
he
it
ended
means
up.
For
it
sure?
Means for sure. it's like uneducated black Southern dialect.
Right.
And or Southern dialect, anyway. And so what Freddie learned was that the way he spoke and the way he wrote were not necessarily what other people understood. And there was nothing wrong with speaking the way he did or writing the way he did, so long as he was with an audience that understood it. And I think he learned a really important lesson there. I hope so, anyway. That's all.
No, I think you're right, and I think that's one thing that is very true, that we do need to teach our teachers, and we need to remember ourselves, that sometimes we use phrases and words that we think everyone will understand, and they don't sometimes, and you have to be called on that. I was sitting here going, okay, but I was afraid that you weren't going to be able to tell us for a minute what it meant.
I mean, I didn't know.
I was
my Canadian, it just doesn't translate.
Yeah. And happy birthday, Carla.
Oh, thank you, girls.
Birthday too? Oh my goodness.
Yes, thanks.
Big birthday wishes.
What a better
way
to
say that in Portuguese.
Oh, women of Web have not sung yet. and we're not ready to start that yet, so.
Yeah, what a better way to spend my birthday. Great.
May I say something else?
Yes.
If you look, I just put a URL on in the chat room. If you go there, you can add your personal birthday greeting to Carla.
Oh,
and we had one last year, and we're starting it up this year, too.
Oh, cool.
This is very cool. Thanks, Danny.
So you folks learned about this, I think, maybe before anyone.
Yes. Thanks, Danny.
Happy birthday.
So
great.
Thank
happy
you,
birthday,
girls.
Carla.
Buona festa.
Well, I think we are getting to an end. Celebrating my birthday here, and I wanted to share with you.
And we can speak
potatoes.
That's neat.
Cheryl, she loves that. Yeah.
I do. I
so
love
colorful.
Brigadeiros, no?
Yes. Yes, brigadeiros, yes. And let's see if I can find another one for you girls to thank you for being here. I know how busy you are.
While she's looking, here's happy birthday in Romanian. Mulțan trăiască. Mulțan trăiască. La mulți ani. Mulțan trăiască, mulțan trăiască, la mulțan. Mulțan trăiască, mulțan trăiască, la mulțan. You got it, la mulțan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So is this where we ask how old you are, or do we refrain?
Oh, I'm 36 now.
Oh,
so
congratulations.
Young, so very, very young.
Yes, 36.
Yes.
Thanks.
She's
thanks.
Just a babichka.
Yes, I'm just a baby blogger now. thank you, everybody. Thanks, girls, for being here. I know that you have busy schedules, but you were all here for us. I'm sure that the ones who couldn't be here with us tonight, they will listen to the podcast. They are dying for that. They were saying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't be there because I teach in the morning and it's too late for me.
It's hard.
But,
it's hard stuff.
Yes, but I think, well, this chat is enlightening for everybody, enriching. We shared so much here. And Beijing is for you. This is the sweet I'm showing on the screen.
Mm.
These are made of coconut and it's typically Brazilian. It's called beijinhos, which means little kisses. And the brigadeiros are for Cheryl. I know that you love them.
Yes. Oh, they look amazing.
They're fun to make.
Yes,
I love the
delicious.
Colors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, girls. I don't know if
well, thank you for inviting us.
Yes.
It's been a treat, really.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got a question for everyone.
Yes,
I've got a question.
Sure.
My question is this. Are Doug and I honorary girls?
You're our wow twos. Okay, you're a bow wow is what you are. You're a boy of web, of the women of web. So you're a bow wow.
Right. I love it.
Yes. We have a few of those. Yeah. We got to get a t-shirt made for them.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have quite a few bow wows. But no, yes, you could be an honorary. You could be a 100% member of WoW. I think Doug is a bow wow too.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, I think I'd rather be a bow wow.
Oh, well, thank you. This was quite fun. And it's still early for me, but I know it's getting late for my friends on the East Coast. So
yes. And it's really down in Argentina. It's 1 a.m.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. You people are amazing.
Yes,
and you probably have to be in the classroom in just a few hours. So
yes,
my hat's off to you.
Is here. Pato is here. Pato, do you want to say something? Patricia is one of the participants.
Well, it's already tomorrow.
Yes, Erica. It's 1 a.m. Yes. Girls, thank you for being here.
Thanks.
I would invite you to read Conrad's post. I'll send you the link, Cheryl, so that you can share. He has just written a wonderful post as a special guest of our session this week, and I'm sure you will enjoy that too.
Yeah.
And thanks for being here, girls. I've been following you quietly as a listener and a lurker, but you're just amazing. Thanks.
Thanks
for what you've been doing.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Well, you're doing great stuff too. I'm so glad that you asked us to join.
It was my pleasure, Cheryl.
And make sure, please, that we get a copy of this, because I know we would all like to listen to it again.
Yes. Cheryl, I think, is recording.
Yes.
Cheryl?
Yep.
Yeah, so then it will become a podcast. And also, girls, when the session is over, the recording is there. You can watch again with the everything, with the slides and the chat, everything.
Oh, good. All right, Carla, I'll be in touch about how to upload this and over and out to everybody else around the planet. This is Cheryl.
Okay. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Night.